Welcome to the Bravo Dog Knowledge Podcast. I am your host, Renee Erdman. I am a certified dog trainer and behavior consultant. I own bravodog.ca. And today we are talking with a colleague of mine and a friend. Her name is Lauren Annan, and she owns Fetching Canine Education. She designs and produces online dog training courses, which you can check out. We have a handy dandy discount code for you at the end of the episode. So stay tuned, dig in, and hopefully you enjoy.
Hello.
Good morning, okay. Lori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for joining us this morning on the podcast.
I'm very, very excited that we
finally made it happen.
Yeah, we finally got around to it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think it's been about a year in the making, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you know, I was talking to somebody else the other day. I think what happens when you talk to somebody all the time is, like, for me, I kind of figure, oh, we'll get to it because we talk all the time. And then before you know it, all this time has gone by and you haven't done this official thing that you were going to do because you just chat all the time.
So formal to me,
yeah.
So yeah, thanks again for taking some time out. Why don't we start by you just telling us a bit about yourself?
Sure. So, well, thanks for having me.
Of course.
So, you know, I guess you and I have known each other for what, about 5 or 6 years now, and we've both kind of grown and evolved and changed a lot in that time. And are doing some things that are a little different than I think we started out thinking we would do.
The evolution. Yeah.
Yeah. So, currently I am, creating online courses for dog owners, although dog trainers do sign up for them. And the goal is to provide education to people who might not otherwise have access to a trainer, or who have issues or things they want to work on that are, you know, best worked on at home. Like, for example, my first course out was Nailed It, a course in canine nail care. And that was just born out of the idea that for, you know, millions of dogs, the idea of getting their nails trimmed is just like you might as well, you know, throw them off the edge of the earth because they'd rather be dead than be restrained or you know, hurt or traumatized in any way. And so doing it at home and doing it in a way that is systematic and gentle and meets the dog where they are is just, it's much more effective for so many people. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just sort of grew. And, you know, now we've got courses to teach tricks, which is just, you know, to have fun with your dog. Courses on helping people with leash reactive dogs or dogs who jump on people. And again, you know, because not everybody has access to good trainers, it's a really big world with lots of people in it and lots of dogs that have needs that just can't find somebody close to them to help them. So it's, you know, reaching people that otherwise might not be able to get the help that they needed, and to make individual specific courses that were more affordable, because there's also sometimes a gap between what people can do and what they can't do. And just because they can't afford to go to, you know, a private trainer or a series of courses for a specific issue doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to help their dog. So that is my primary focus. And then I also work part-time for the Academy for Dog Trainers, which you and I both graduated from. I do freshman orientation. So I do the welcoming of new students and kind of walking them through the process, as well as managing our social media.
Wow. Lots going on. Hey. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I think, not just one thing, but the main benefit I think for these online courses for trainers is that we can use these, we can refer these to our clients, because you touched on the fact that, you know, not everybody can afford multiple sessions with trainers, but we also have to think about time. Like, I know as a trainer can't see a client a couple times a week for these nail sessions.
Yeah.
I think it makes much more sense for me to say, hey, this fantastic course, which is super cost effective, you can do this at home. you know,
yeah.
and it's just done so much better than I could do. So,
here you go. I mean, it's going to cost them a lot less money, and it's going to give you the opportunity to, you know, work on the things that you actually really like to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's often a lot of, you know, you see a client and there's more than one issue going on, but if we can improve their, quality of life by, you know, addressing these things, then wonderful. So yeah, I think that they're amazing. Now originally before you were with the Academy, what were you doing? Is this a different career for you? Cause for most of us, it's our maybe second or third or fourth career, depending on how old you are.
So interestingly, this is my second dog training career. So my background is in psychology. I have bachelor's is in psychology, and then I went back to school and got a certification in drug and alcohol counseling. And I did do a year of graduate school to I was going to do marriage and family counseling. And then my dad died, and that sort of changed everything. I took a little bit of a hiatus from work. There was a lot of things that I had to figure out. And one day my husband came home with a book. It's by Nicole Wilde. And it was called So You Think You Want to Be a Dog Trainer. And I guess there's this thing about processing time. So, you know, all of that time while I was on this little hiatus trying to sort things out after my dad's death, like my brain was actually processing some things. And so when my husband brought home that book, it was the exact right thing at the exact right time. And so I delved back into pursuing a career as a dog trainer. I had gone through animal behavior college back in 2001, and I actually worked as a dog trainer for about 4 years or so after that. And, you know, now I think back and I think, God, I had no business helping people with their dogs with that, having gone through that school. But, you know, for the most part, it was really simple behaviors. You know, I was teaching dogs how to, you know, do downstays and, you know, not rush outdoors and, you know, walk nicely on leash. I certainly was not doing complicated behavior things. But I got sort of, you know, this industry can cause a bit of compassion for fatigue. It can cause you to get burnt out. So I was experiencing some of that. My business had grown. I had taken on 2 business partners who wanted to go into doggy daycare. I decided I didn't want to do that. So I sold my business to them. And then went back to work with humans for a while. So I did, that's when I did the drug and alcohol counseling. I worked for a program through Johns Hopkins University and Medical Center. I worked at a program that focused on teenagers with addiction and family issues. And then, you know, found my way back to dogs after my father's death. And now I've been back in dogs for, I guess, about 8 years. And, you know, one of the things that I found over, I guess Lauren Annan's been around for, I say my name, that my because my business name is my name. So when I say my name sometimes, it's just like this word that comes out of my mouth. It's so funny. But we started LaurenAnnan.com about 2 years ago. And prior to that, I worked in a shelter for about 2 years. And then prior to that, I trained dogs privately for about 5 years. And I guess one of the things that really started to impact me, the shelter definitely caused me some compassion fatigue, although the facility I worked at, we did tremendous work. We made great changes. We saved a lot of lives in a really productive and healthy and safe way. But that's a hard environment to be in every day. And I'm a soft person. I mean, I think I probably come across kind of hardcore sometimes, but I'm actually really, really soft inside. you know, creating courses, getting to this point was a way for me to continue to do something that I really love in a way that was efficient and wasn't causing me to feel every day like the world is crap and everybody treats their dogs poorly and there's no hope for any of us.
So that's why
I am where I am today. This was my solution to sticking around.
I think it's an amazing solution because I think that, you know, most of us that are working with dogs and people, we're doing it because we want to make a difference. We want to help in some way. but you also have to protect yourself.
Yes.
So, and you know, finding a way to do that. I mean, once, yeah. if you've got that spot, that's golden.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think, you know, it's fantastic. I see some of the things that you're doing and you're providing that for other people as well. And hopefully, you know, you're able to do that for yourself as well, because what you're contributing to the industry and some of the things that you've given me some insight into what you're working on are tremendous. And that's one of the things that's actually really cool about where we are right now is that technology has given us so many more options.
Yeah. Yeah. You can reach more people. And I think that it's getting the right information, you know, out there to compete with the wrong information.
Yeah.
At least it makes you feel like you're doing yes. something to combat that, because yeah. we can't control the garbage,
right.
you know, literally the garbage that's spewed out in the interwebs yes. and online, but we can do our part and we can, you know, contribute in even just a small way, then great if we're reaching people. So yeah. I think it's empowering. And yeah, so I think, technology, while it can be a bit of a bane sometimes, yeah. it sure opens up a lot of doors.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's amazing. It's been quite a journey for you, but I mean, the journey is always continuing for
right.
all of us, right?
Yeah.
You never know what turn is the next turn is, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. So when you were working with dogs previously, like you were working as a dog trainer after you took your like initial course, like, were you always using positive reinforcement training, or would you say you're a crossover trainer? What, you know, things evolve? Did you evolve?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
This is really, really funny for me to me. So, I still have my initial emails from when I applied to the academy. In one of the emails, Jean said to me, I just want to ensure that you are committed to using force-free, positive reinforcement-based methods only. And I was like, of course. And then I start, and I literally thought I was going to the academy. Now, I paid a lot of money thinking that I was going to the academy because I was going to learn how to perfect my downstay. Like, that's sort of my joke. Like, I thought that was going to be my big takeaway.
Oh, were you in for a surprise?
Yeah, well, yeah, right. So it took, you know, it took quite a while for me to realize that, like, the impact of that simple question, committed to, you know, force-free, positive reinforcement-based methods only, I had no idea what that meant, and I thought I did at the time. And yeah. So I try to remind myself of that sometimes when I'm, you know, when I get frustrated at people, especially on the internet, because, you know, that's mm-hmm. where, you know, everybody goes with their thoughts and opinions and everybody's mm-hmm. an expert, is that there was a time that I didn't understand what these things were and what they meant.
Yeah.
But when I was training before, I mean, you know, not to say that I think it's okay, but really probably the worst that I did was to use choke chains.
Yeah,
I was not shocking dogs. I was not yanking them around. You know, I would correct them with a choke chain, but yeah. I was certainly not, you know, lifting them up off the ground and, you know, doing all manner of horrible things that we know about. I was definitely using food, but you know, it was like kibble and milk bone type treats. Mm-hmm. There was definitely no talk about, you know, using, you know, the importance of magnitude and value in food reinforcers. I mean, I would consider myself a crossover trainer for sure. But simply because I didn't know. And I mm-hmm. think that's a real something that, you know, I interviewed Jean when I saw her in January, and she's like, we've been trying to change this for 30 years. You know, here I am 8 years later, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're still having to do this. Well, this conversation has been happening for a really long time.
Yep.
And it's going to continue to happen. And people will have light bulb moments. My realizing that I had no idea what she really meant when she asked me that question was a huge light bulb moment for me. And it was a game changer in terms of the way that I approached everything about training. Because I suddenly understood something that really I didn't understand before. And so, you know, there's that thing, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I didn't know it. And as soon as I figured it out, it changed everything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I think I love to hear people's stories about where they sort of started and when things changed for them. And I think that, geez, that I can't even imagine not like being in this day and age, not thinking more than once about what I'm doing with an animal.
I know.
Like, I just don't even, I just, the impact that you can have by what you're doing or telling somebody, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, right. I just, and taking money for it.
Yeah.
Like, so, taking people's hard-earned money. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. So there's, I'm currently running this series of posts on the Academy social media on our Facebook page that a lot of people really dislike. And you know, I have to be honest,
they dislike it. Is that what you said?
Yes. Because I'm saying in these things, like, actual pieces of advice that people have been given about dogs and dog training, and then writing why it's untrue or problematic.
Oh yes. Yeah. But
people, you know, in this day and age, another big problem is people don't really read. and so they're not taking in the full, what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But so I think it was the one that went up on Thursday, but it was about dogs digging. And
yes, I saw that one.
That one was literally born out of a conversation that I had with a man. This was years ago, probably like months after I started the Academy. I was standing at a counter in this little like old Italian kind of deli, just, you know, like every Italian kind of food. It was like a very ethnic Italian specific store, and people like travel from all over to go there because we don't really have those anymore unless you live in cities, right? Mm-hmm. In cities you can find ethnic specific stores, but not in the suburbs. So I'm standing at the counter and it smells wonderful. It smells like Italian marinara sauce made by your grandmother. And this man is standing at the counter and he's talking to the guy behind the counter they're talking about dogs. And I overhear him say, yeah, well, if your dog digs, fill the hole with water. And when you see him go over there, stick his head in it. And as long, you know, stick his head in it so that he like is like drowning in the hole that he made. And I'm not somebody who keeps my mouth shut easily. And I was like, what did you just say? Like, that's, you can't try to drown a dog. And he said, that's what my dog trainer told me to do. You have to be the boss, and if you don't want them to dig, you have to stick their head into the mud and they won't do it anymore. And I was just like, that is I think I said, that's the most repulsive thing I've ever heard in my entire life, or something along those lines. And I was literally shaking like a leaf. That's another thing about me, like, there's that saying, you know, speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. That's me to a T. My voice will always shake, but I will always speak the truth. And I had to leave. And I was so, you know, that sick feeling that you get, like, I had that sick feeling for the rest of the day. And so I guess, you know, in a conversation with some peers over the last couple of weeks, some things came up where, you know, people that we know, or their clients have come across similar pieces of advice. And so, you know, I thought it was really important to point out to people that these things are still being said, and in my post pointing out, here's what you can actually do to change that behavior. Unfortunately, I don't think people are receiving it in the way that it's meant. But I kind of stand by it because one good thing is happening. Some people are actually really truly shocked that is being dispensed as advice, which I think is really good news. That's very telling, in that there are people who haven't even heard this stuff. And I think that shows that we've come a long, long way. And another quick example is Kelly Duggan, who's also an Academy staff member. She and I, years ago, started a Facebook page called Your Pitbull and You. And I remember her telling me, I remember this so clearly. Her very first dog was a dog named Kiki. She's like, I don't even remember who she went to class with Kiki, but it was a positive reinforcement based class. She's like, I've never used anything but positive reinforcement with any dog that I've ever had. She's like, I've never been exposed to it. Mm-hmm. And that still to this day gives me so much hope, because there are people like her too, who have never been exposed to some of the horrible things that we know still exist, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, depending on what education people are obtaining nowadays, I would like to hope it's not as common anymore, that, you know, all this punitive stuff is being taught. It's just not being accepted. I mean, I think that things seem to be getting better. I think things are becoming, you know, things that we are aware of that have existed for a long time, or that we see online, are finally being exposed to the masses.
Yeah.
And people are actually standing up and saying, no, it's not okay. Yeah. And there are some repercussions that are happening, which I think is very hopeful.
And I'll tell you just in my own personal life. So, you know, we live in a condo. The people who live upstairs from us have a dog. They walk their dog on an easy walk harness. Like, the first time I saw them walk out with the dog, of course, the first thing I looked for was what kind of equipment is the dog wearing? And I saw the easy walk and I was like, yes. And then yesterday I was outside blowing leaves out in front of my house, and somebody was visiting a couple condos over, and she walked it over with these two, the most gorgeous Portuguese water dogs that I've ever seen in my entire life. But I didn't say hi, cause I had a leaf blower and I didn't want to scare them. But both of those dogs were wearing easy walk harnesses too. And so, and like, if you look around, if this is something that, you know, is important to you, like for your peace of mind, look around, you will notice, at least I do. I mean, you know, I'm mm-hmm. N of one, but I definitely see less and less aversive equipment on dogs in my daily life.
And more people using rewards and food and just being kind to their dogs, you know? I think that, you know, maybe the bar is low. I don't know. Sometimes the bar is too low, but
I mean, if
being kind to your dog, there's a thought.
Just be nice to him.
Let's just be nice. I mean, it's slow going, but I think maybe it's not as slow as we think it is. It's just the bigger cases that we see, or the bigger injustices sort of make the progress look slower. I don't know if I'm.
Well, and I think, you know, we also, you know, we interact with a whole bunch of other people who think exactly the same that we do. So when we come together because one of us has encountered one of these awful things in some ways, it gets amplified in all of our minds.
Yeah.
Right. So that's not to say I'm not dismissing it. It's not, you know, gone for sure. But we definitely, because we're so sensitive to the bad things that we know that people can and do to dogs, when we hear of it, it tends to get amplified, and we tend to, again, feel like we're not getting anywhere. And I just don't think mm-hmm. it's true. I mean, I look at, you know, even just my, I don't think it's true. That doesn't mean I think it's happening as fast as I'd like. Let's hear about that.
True.
But, you know, even when I look at like my online courses, there are students that are signed up for every one.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it shows that there's, you know, a thirst for getting the information, that people really do want to know how to do right by their dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, I've noticed, is that I rarely have people question using rewards in classes or Excellent. Using yeah. rewards, and food for training. Rarely. The only, you know, the question that I will get is, well, we're using a lot of food, you know, should I cut back mm-hmm. on meals and things like that? So calories and things like that. But I think it's
and there's
amazing.
Answers to that. I mean,
exactly.
There's answers to that. I recently, for the first time actually had some, I mean, I've had similar questions, and nailed it is, you know, because we're talking about something that dogs are so sensitive, we are kind of using a lot of food. You know, I've had the question, you know, is he going to gain weight? Well, just cut back on meals, and that's easily taken care of. But I did have someone ask if they could use something else as a reinforcer. And, you know, my answer was sort of like, not really. I mean, you could try with praise and petting and see how far you get, but this is not, we need a calm, relaxed dog. This is not really something that you can toss a ball in between.
Yeah. And how long do you want it to take?
Right.
Really?
Right.
Because we're already at a disadvantage here. Right. So we kind of need to overdo it.
Right. Right. So, and the, you know, really my answer ended up being, unfortunately, I don't see that as being a possibility. And even if it is, it's extremely inefficient. And at the end of the day, I want the training that we're doing with our dogs to be as efficient as possible. Because first of all, as humans, we all have, you know, limited amounts of bandwidth for, you know, everything really. And we have to get the job done as trainers, not only just to make the dog believers, but to make the people believers too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think it does a disservice to people to beat around the bush. Yeah, I used to be like, until you become really confident about the information, I think that it's easy to sort of waffle and be like, oh, okay, well maybe we can try this, but it's not helping. And so I'm the same now in that unfortunately it's not going to be effective. That's just the reality.
Yeah.
You can, if you want to give it a shot, I think that it, you're going to be wasting your time. And I think people appreciate the honesty.
Yes, yeah.
But it does go to show you, and this is to me the most interesting thing working with people is, and if we're talking about how things are changing and evolving with dog training and working with dogs, is the power of influence, the power of how somebody looking at me as an expert will almost do anything that I suggest.
Yeah.
Because they're so desperate. Yeah. And I think what makes me really upset is knowing the power that you have and taking advantage of somebody, and doing harm. I mean, that just really roasts my butt.
Yeah.
To be honest.
I think one of the things that we do as humans in general is just underestimate the power of the words that we say to each other about anything really. Just as a personal example. So my husband, has multiple sclerosis, so he has to be super careful about, you know, the sort of things that he gets exposed to. Right. So he is super, super paranoid about ticks. We have a dog who goes outside. Right. And so like in the summertime when there's, you know, lots of tall grasses and the ticks are the most active, he talks about ticks a lot. And so, you know, like his words, and I understand there are risks. I take appropriate precautions myself. Our dog's protected. But that those words start to seep into my consciousness too. And now, you know, like we drive by what I previously would have thought as like, you know, a beautiful bucolic meadow. And all I can think of is the millions of ticks that must be living in those grasses. I think we just tend to underestimate the power of the words that we use with each other in general, which is why as people who are considered experts by the people who are paying us money, it's really important that what we say to them is accurate and helpful and not harmful to their animal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not demeaning to them. That's important too, because that's something that's, you know, been a problem in our industry as well. I mean, you know, we're human. We have, you know, our own emotional limits as well, but, you know, I think it's changed a lot. And, you know, one of the things that we do learn through the academy is the power of counseling and how to talk to people. But, you know, I've certainly seen and heard of trainers who were, really good at teaching skills, but not so great to their human learners. And I think that that's, you know, we have to be mindful of that, because they're the ones that are going to take the information and use it with their dogs. And if we can get them to be believers and we can get them to be buy-in and we can get buy-in, then we're just going to, it's just better for everybody in the long run, including every dog who comes after. Because, hey, guess what? Renee was really great to my dog and we learned so much. And she was so nice. She was so helpful. And I loved chatting with her in between, you know, repetitions, or she was really into, you know, such and such. And, you know, I'm into that. And we had something in common. Like, be human too, and be a decent human to your human learner. I think that's really important too.
Yeah, excellent, excellent advice and takeaways. So with all of your experience working with humans and working with animals, what would you say is the most important thing for our companion animals that they need in order to thrive? Like if you could just pick one thing behaviorally.
Well, I think increased enrichment, which is, you know, a really wide, broad category, mm-hmm. dramatically improves quality of life for all dogs, all companion animals, really. Okay. You know, my cat has toys all over the place. She has multiple scratching posts. She's got, you know, basically cat TV because her the room where all her stuff is, it's just one giant window. She loves playing with the wand and catnip toys. Hazel is definitely less barky and less kind of needy and irritable if we get walks in every single day, and not just walks for exercise, walks where there's lots of sniffing. Mm-hmm. The magic of the dog nose is one of my, like, the things that I think is most amazing in life. It's just so fascinating. And if we let them use them more, guess what? You're going to have a happier, more relaxed dog in general. So enrichment and, you know, working to eat. Hazel eats all of her meals out of West Paw Topples. You know, I mix her food and freeze it. So it takes her a little bit longer. I mean, she won't even look at a bowl of kibble.
I was going to say, you really need to do like a video and put a bowl down just with the food and see what she does.
Wait, so she's so like, there's a joke in my house. I call my husband No Contingency Nanan. So because he just gives his all high value things for everything. What's happened over time, first of all, she's chubby, although he's away, so she's probably lost about 2 pounds since he's been away, and I'm going to be better about enforcing the rules when he gets back. But she, like, last night I was eating popcorn, and she loves to catch it.
Yeah.
But she doesn't eat it. Like, this is a dog who's to the point where who won't even eat popcorn. Like, she wants meat, and she wants cheese. And so I, when I make her topple, like, get the ones I was making last night, I was like, these are kind of like, bits of kibble with bits of wet food and a lot of air and water. So like, I just let it soak up as much. I let the kibble soak up as much, water as possible. Yeah. But you know, he would put, you know, shredded cheese in there and real chicken and chicken skin. And I'm like, no, we can't, you know, like, I don't want this dog to die at 10 of heart disease. So let's stop.
He's so generous though. That's the silver lining to
It is. It's kind person. It all comes from love, but you know, sometimes love leads to bad knees and ACL surgery. And I don't want that.
True.
And it also, you know, it's one of the things that, one of the weapons that, you know, other trainers try to use against us, right? Well, look at that dog. So, you know, I have to work hard to combat that. So when he gets home, we're going to have a real long talk about, look at the nice tuck your dog has. Doesn't she look great?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
But yeah, so I think, you know, just adding enrichment, making sure that your dog has access to the kind of toys that he or she likes, not just toys.
Right.
You know, they have to be ones that they actually like. I think that's really, really important. And enrichment can be training. I mean, if you're training using reward-based methods, it's enriching for your dog. You're engaging their body and their brain.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter what kind of dog you have. No. I mean, Maggie, my English bulldog, I'll give her food dispensing toys too. It just has to be ones that she can actually dislodge with her flat face. Yeah.
Oh my God.
She enjoys it.
Yeah.
And while physically she, you know, if you have a dog that is, has physical limitations, enrichment can even be taking them on errands, you know, like Maggie, we take her out on, you know, car rides. We go, you know, just taking them places is getting them out of the house. You know, if they can't physically walk or they've got disabilities, there's still lots of stuff that you can do.
It's so funny you say the thing about the car rides, because yesterday we went for our walk. And there's a porta potty in one of the parks we go to. And there was like a person in the porta potty, because it's right next to the trash can, for at least a half an hour. Like, at first I thought it was an animal, and then I was like, I went to go dump the poop bag, and I was like, no, there's a person in there because the thing is locked, and this is weird and freaky, so we're leaving. And so it was less time than we would normally be out. And I live in a tourist town, and it was Sunday, and I was like, you know what, we'll just take the long way home. We'll drive through New Hope. I'll roll down the windows a bit so she can stick her nose out and sniff. And that is, like you said, car rides can be enriching.
Yes.
She loved it. There were people, there were smells, there was activity. So
Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Probably the smell of, you know, food in the air. Even though we didn't get the walk in that we usually would get, I was able to provide her with enrichment in other ways. So that's a really, really good point you made.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
It's true. It was probably the first time that I actually thought of it that way. I was like, well, yeah, a long way home, because, you know, that's a little more exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do. I've got, you know, friends with dogs that are, you know, compromised because of the messed up breeds that they are.
Yeah.
So we've got to find ways to give them what they need, because of those things. So, yeah. Well, gosh, we've been talking a long time. I think, why don't you tell everybody where they can find these awesome courses?
Sure. So
first of all, yeah.
If people are looking for courses, they can just go to lorinannan.com. So it's Lori Nannan, which is Nannan.com. So to make it easier, I always say Nancy Apple, Nancy Apple, Nancy, because nobody ever believes that my last name is spelled the way it actually is.
it's not that strange. I don't think it's that different at all. But
no, but I think what happens is you want to keep typing. So even like I'll keep typing and it'll be nananana. Or they'll look at it.
Or nananana.
They'll look at it and they'll be like, this can't be right. And then obviously we're on, you know, all of the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Things just go to Twitter from Facebook. And I just joined Pinterest.
Oh boy.
Well, are you on Pinterest?
Not for business. Okay. No.
So I avoided it like the plague, and I have no idea what I'm going to do with it business wise. Cause I haven't used it in so long, but Paul, my husband, kept encouraging me to do it. It makes everything that you do look so nice, neat, and orderly.
Really?
And makes it, because it's categories, so it makes it easier for people to find the things that you do.
Uh-huh. You've piqued my interest.
I would check it out if I were you.
I will.
I feel like it would benefit you as well. Okay. I have to figure out the way that you get followers and stuff like that on it. But in the meantime, I love looking at my own Pinterest board. So every morning I get on and I'm like, oh my gosh, you are so pretty.
It's the simple joys in life.
Yep. Yeah.
All so it that, takes.
So that one is just / Lori Nannan. If you want to go check it out for yourself and give yourself another thing to do. Cause I know you need more of those.
Lots
too,
of time.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Lots of time on my hands.
Yeah.
What courses do you have coming up? Anything new?
So I have a free course actually that I think I'm going to release on Friday.
Ooh.
And it's basically, so it's called, I'll give you a little sneak peek of the name. It's called 5 Gifts to Give Your Dog This Holiday Season.
Yeah.
Or this holiday, maybe not season. And it basically just is, you know, a couple of different categories with lots of resources, information, links to blogs and graphics and books and, things that I have found useful over the years. Cause I find it's really nice if you can find a whole bunch of stuff in one place.
Yeah, I agree.
And so that's, I try to do that at least once a year is create a free place with, you know, kind of updated stuff. Last year's free course was Dogs 101. This is 5 Gifts to Give Your Dog. And basically at the end of each section is, you know, this is why this particular thing is a gift to your dog.
Right.
And then next week we actually have a course called Teach Your Dog to Come When Called. And that is with Sarah Pennington, who is a colleague of ours. She owns Yaletown Dog Training in Vancouver. And I find it so, like, my understanding of Canada is so minimal that I feel like you guys are like next door neighbors and you're not really.
Well, we're not that far from each other. We just, you know, you end up in your own bubble and you don't see people as much as you should. But yeah. That's awesome. So that'll be next week. You're going to launch that?
Yeah. So that'll be out in time for Christmas. Perfect. And then beyond that, we have a couple of things. We're going to do a loose leash walking course at some point. We've got a puppy biting course in the works.
Nice.
And then I think we're taking a little bit of a break from course creation for something that's super secret.
Okay.
For a little while. But it should be exciting if it actually works the way that we're hoping.
Okay.
But there'll always be, you know, blogs and podcasts and, you know, lots of other things going on just because I am not a person who can sit still. Apparently.
Yeah. And the podcast too, because we love to turn people onto other podcasts too.
Well, so I was inspired to start a podcast by you. And, you know, I'd been thinking about it for quite a while, but the way that you do it is this is so efficient and so effective.
Everything
else was so overwhelming.
Yeah.
And my niece, who's 25, was here over the summer.
Yeah.
And so I said to her, so there's this podcast thing that I want to check out, but I don't know what I'm doing. She of course figured it out in like 10 minutes. So, nice. So, you know, having a young person get me situated, was the thing that actually got me started, and I love doing it. And, you know, I know your podcast, you've had tremendous reach with your podcast, right?
Yeah, I have like so people. Awesome. Yeah, it's and they, the awesome part is when people contact you from like all around the world asking you questions. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is actually working. That's cool.
It's so cool. I was so I saw you post somewhere how many you know, but what do they call it? Like active listeners or something.
Listens. Yeah.
I was like, that is amazing.
It's fun. Yeah.
I feel like it's just a fun way to, I mean, I listen to podcasts to fall asleep. I listen to them in my car. It's just a really nice way to engage people without them having to read something, without them having to, you know, really actively do something. It's something that they can relax and like listening to a podcast while you're driving in your car is fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's super entertaining to me. Well, and you can also, it's educational, right? You
learn right.
Lots of different things.
We're providing, it's just another outlet to provide education to people and one that I think is super, super accessible to them.
Yeah. And you know, what does yours have a title or is somebody searching for it?
My podcast is Canine Education for Humans. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's on like Apple Podcasts, it's on Anchor, iTunes. I guess
everywhere.
It's just spread. Yeah. So it's on Spotify. Somebody sent me a screenshot. They were like, you were on Spotify. And I was like, I've arrived. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Amazing. Good. Excellent. Well, thanks again for joining us today. Oh, and did you have a code for folks that are listening if they want to purchase any of your courses, correct?
Yes. So I actually believe that I'm not in front of my computer and I'm gonna move and hopefully it's not gonna make my dog bark.
That's okay.
But
I hear her tags and that's
yeah. She this is exciting. She's there. We're on the move. We're headed somewhere. Let's see what's happening. I set up your codes this morning.
Oh, good.
And
good.
So the only, Siri wants me to talk to her. The only courses that I am not able to just kind of blanket give discounts on are the separation anxiety course and the editing course.
Yes, of course.
So, you know, if you get anybody that has questions about those, you can feel free to send them to me.
Of course.
But your code is Bravo.
Yep.
And it is 20% off.
Wow.
Forever. It doesn't expire on all other courses.
Very generous. So, Thank you.
I think there's 8 or 9 other courses that there's 20% off that you're welcome to share with your listeners or clients who are looking for something that you don't offer. Perfect. Or don't have time for. So feel free to share it. And I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks again. Enjoy the rest of your day. Yes. And keep doing the good work you're doing.
You do the same. Thanks so much, Renee.
Thanks, Lori. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Bravo Dog Knowledge Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and hopefully you'll join us again real soon.